Yes, I will. Director Farrow?
Yes.
Director Griffin?
Here.
Director Hickey?
Here.
Director Kane?
Here.
Director Sheffrin?
Here.
Thank you.
At this time, I'd like to invite anyone in the public to make comments on non-agenda items.
Hi, my name is Karen Rout. I am a resident of Redwood City and an avid supporter and supportive of healthcare and the types of issues dealt with in the Sequoia Healthcare District. I'm here simply to learn, and I've met Lee in the past and just decided I would take advantage of my discretion as a resident to participate in this meeting. My company is Magnolia Prime, and I focus on seniors, helping seniors remain independent. And what we do is provide a customized scheduled message to someone's phone to help them remain independent. I say we are to the aging community what OnStar is to the auto industry.
Me?
So,
can I push a button in my car and talk to you?
Well, you could. Well, it's a phone-based system, but you can use the system and push a button and not talk to me, but send a recorded message back. Is that good enough?
Sounds good.
Okay.
I heard about Magnolia at Little House.
Oh, you may have.
Yeah, Peninsula Volunteers.
Yeah. Oh, are you a Peninsula Volunteer?
No, I'm not, but I go to their functions.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah, I spoke at one of their meetings.
Very good.
Thank you very much, Karen.
Thank you.
Welcome to this and any other meetings you'd like to come to.
Thank you.
Any other public comment? Hearing none, I'd like to move to the consent calendar action item. Would accept a motion to approve the consent calendar?
Remove the minutes.
Then can I have a motion to approve the financials?
I'll second.
Roll call.
We'll have a roll call on the approval of the financial statements.
Director Farrow?
Yes.
Director Griffin?
Yes.
Director Hickey?
Yes.
Director Kane?
Yes.
Director Sheffrin?
Yes. Mr. Hickey, you want to address something in the minutes?
Yes, there are three items on the minutes. Two of them are rather trivial, but important. On the very first page, second paragraph, Director Hickey read from a statement. I would add the word submitted for the record, because it isn't clear there that the statement that I delivered was turned into the to be included in the record. And I can't assume from that statement that actually happened. I would hope that it happened, and maybe it does happen automatically. I think putting that in there would make it clear. The other one, I'll go to the easy one, the next easy one. On the next to last paragraph, just before adjournment.
Of what? Oh, the entire minutes?
Yeah. The August minutes, we're talking about the August.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. It says Director Hickey offered a motion to reconsider the wording under 5E. That's not what happened. Director Hickey offered a motion to reconsider the action taken on item 5E. If we could make that correction. I didn't want to change wording. I just wanted to reconsider the action taken on item 5E.
I don't know that I remember it that way. I'm not disagreeing.
Well, the audio recording is very clear on it. I even listened to it. And then now the more substantive one is the one that's 3A, 3C, the consent calendar, where I ask to amend the minutes. And it says that citing the next to last paragraph under item 5B on healthcare benefits, I would replace that with Director Hickey questioned the next to last paragraph in the minutes under item 5E. It was his opinion that payback of benefits received by directors for the period from January 1st, 2013 to June 30th, 2013 remained an issue to be reconciled. The statement that was in the minutes that I wanted to have changed, which the board decided not to, was pretty much putting a stamp of approval on that period of time, and that isn't the, so that was the thing that I had sought to change. So I'll give you a copy of this if that would help, if you agree that, you know, that if you listen to the audio, that's what you'll hear. And I'm eliminating the part that where it says Mr. Hudak reminded the board that the meetings are governed by the Brown Act, because that's taken care of in another item at the end where we talked about the motion to reconsider. And it just came up extraneous in this particular section. This was strictly about the minutes and what I had requested, that the minutes, that I questioned that paragraph. And that's the sole thing that I questioned, and I think that this makes it clear.
Yeah, I'm not, just for myself, 100% comfortable changing something based on your interpretation of what you heard on the tape. I mean, sometimes we both listen to something and we both would agree that's exactly what was said. Another time you listen to it and we both don't agree exactly on what was said. So I'm not uncomfortable with the first two, as you say, simple changes, although what I would ask Janine, I'm assuming that the document was put in the record. Is that a...
I did, yes. Okay. I can certainly add the wording.
Taken care of, and I'm not personally having a problem with changing wording to action, but I'm not necessarily comfortable unless I go back now and listen to it. So I can't agree with you.
Well, I'm submitting this and asking that someone go back and listen to it. It is available. That's not, unfortunately, not on our website, but I did get a disc copy. I don't know why all the directors didn't get one, because I think it would be handy.
Can I suggest we table the action on these minutes until we check that?
Comfortable with that recommendation. I assume that there's no problem with us tabling approval of the minutes till the next meeting?
That would have been my recommendation, so it makes sense then that somebody can go back and check. Mm-hmm. I'm happy to listen as well if there's any lack of clarity.
Cool.
Their action minutes.
So, yes. So we'll we need to have a motion, though, to table.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
If we have a roll call vote.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Director Farrow?
Aye.
Director Griffin?
Yes.
Director Hickey?
Yes.
Director Kane?
Yes.
Director Sheffrin?
Yes. 100% agreement on two motions.
I'm
roll here. okay, moving on to CEO staff reports.
This could be a relatively short one, but I do want to point out a couple of things. A couple of board members had requested.
Pete, could you talk up a little?
Sure.
I'm sorry.
Sure. A couple of board members had requested that in addition to the financials being presented in our traditional form, that we also sort of project our best guess as to both the income and expense for each period of time, and then compare that to the actuals so that you could have a better judgment as to exactly where we're at any given time. According to what we expect to happen during that period of time and what actually did happen. And so you'll see as part of my report, in the income areas, we have projected income of $53,200. And in reality, our actuals were $38,600. Pretty irrelevant in a sense that this is a really, July and August is a period of time where we virtually receive no tax money, and it's not an income producing area for us. So $15,000 difference on a budget of whatever, some $11 million is pretty irrelevant. But we'll continue to do the projections for each board meeting. So the next one will be September and October. On the expense side, we had projected spending roughly $2 million, and we only spent $1.4 million. And the main difference was just purely a timing situation, and that's the nursing program. We ended up paying the nursing program in September, where last year we had paid it in August. And so last year, we had projected paying it in August. This year, we didn't actually get the invoice and the letter from them until late, so we paid them in September. So you'll see it showing up. So the difference is roughly $500,000. If you see, look at that $500,000, we're pretty close on most every other projection. I think this new system will be very helpful as we move forward, because the next projected area will be essentially a four-month projection, and you'll be able to see the actuals against 4 months, and not just to the end of the year budget. So appreciate the direction on this. I think it's a good move that we do this. But you will see that it's fluctuation, and sometimes it's just purely a matter of timing. However, when you do see something that stands out to you, and it appears it may not be just a matter of timing, I would suggest or encourage you to inquire as to how we got to that situation, and we'll have a backup for you.
Quick comment on this, Lee. I would wonder if the word that you want to use here really isn't budgeted rather than projected. That's really what you're doing, is you're taking out whatever it's in the budget for that month or those 2 months or
right.
The quarter or whatever it is. And the second is, and this is just perhaps my preference, if you put it in the same format as the other document, you know, our mm-hmm. actual, mm-hmm. you know, the ones that you've been doing each time, and then just put that under the financials page, I think that's
just
it should be just
right underneath it.
Just part of
okay.
the next page, you know,
okay.
it could be another
no
page
problem.
In the financial.
No problem. We can do that. So, some progress there. I do want to point out a couple of small things. First one is on October 15th. There is an activity benefit for the Meals on Wheels program, and if I know several of you have participated in the Meals on Wheels program in the past, and if you're interested in participating on that event, there's a lunch and a dinner on October 15th, and you're certainly more than welcome to attend, and I can provide those details to you. I also wanted to mention under number 9, we've all heard a lot about the Affordable Health Care Act and what's going on. And the county, I wanted to mention the county will be holding some special enrollment fairs throughout our district on October 12th. And we're going to put something on our website in case someone looks at our website directing people to those activities on October 12th. And the other thing I want to mention is under number 10, and then I'll see if the other staff members want to mention anything. And that is, we got a visit last week from the interim director of Samaritan House. They have an interim executive director. They're doing a national search for Kitty's replacement, and they anticipate trying to have somebody on board by the 1st of January. So they recognize that we're a major investor. In fact, we are their largest donor of all the donors to Samaritan House. And they felt it was important to come over and visit with us and sort of update us on the progress in this important position. So that's in the works. I'll let you know as soon as I know who their director is and provide that information. Other than that, I'll see. I am speaking as part of a panel on October 22nd on the future of San Mateo County. Why I was selected, I don't know, but it was coming. The invitation came from the League of Women Voters. And
is that an open forum?
Open forum.
Yeah. Did she go to the
At the library, San Mateo library on Third Avenue.
Yeah, well, we live right near the hospital, so.
So Pamela, I don't know if you wanted to add anything, or Glenn?
I don't really have anything more to add than what I have put in here. And unless you guys have any specific questions, I would give the floor to Glenn.
Awesome, I appreciate it.
And I also, I know you had an opportunity to take a look at my report. If you have any questions, let me know. I did put reference in there to another defibrillator saved in Foster City. Other than that, I have nothing else to add.
I have a couple of questions.
Yes, sir.
I see under CPR training, AED and CPR training, we've listed Oracle Corporation, which is not in the county the last time I looked. And Justin Herman Plaza, and which is not in San Diego County.
What? Oracle's in Redwood City.
Oracle.
Redwood Shores.
Redwood Shores. I lived there.
Oh, yeah, oh, that's Larry Ellison, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of Chenente. Boy, I got my shirt. Okay, but Justin Herman Plaza, what's going on down there?
Well, we work regionally. So, for instance, when we had that Oracle, we had people coming down from San Francisco to help us with the heart walk there and the mass CPR training there. They had a big event a few days later, and they asked us, this is for us. So me and other representatives in this area go up and just help with the mass CPR training. Yes, sir.
Lynn, on your AED placements in progress, you've got three listed, and one you have paid by this org.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about why we pay for some and not for others, and revisit that with me? I'm not sure.
Yeah, this is something Lee and I talked about a year or so ago, or maybe longer than that. For a private company, private corporation, we want them to pay for it. What we do is we'll assist with the purchase and the monitoring of that, but they fork over all the money for the purchase of the unit.
So what we're saying is General Tire is paying.
Yes.
And the reason that the Elks Club is not is?
Just that they're a nonprofit organization.
Okay. So is our current thinking on this that we pay if it's a not-for-profit, but we don't if it's a for-profit? Is that the?
I think the direction's easier that if it is a for-profit, then they do pay. If it's for profit, they do pay. If
discounted rate.
Oh, absolutely, yeah, certainly at a discounted rate, but they pay the entire expenditure.
If you were to place AEDs in the Hillsdale Shopping Center, would that be? I mean, obviously, that seems like something that would be. Well, it's out of the district, but just as an example, it would be something that would benefit the public in general.
But it's publicly, it's privately
owned.
It's privately owned, so they would pay.
So
they would pay.
I wonder about that type.
We have done that.
We have done that, and they pay for them themselves.
And they pay for them.
Yes, sir.
I would like to see them all of them pay for them, including the school.
Yes, sir.
And not just the religious schools. I know now they get them for free, right? Some of them.
Well, any school is a candidate.
And any school that, they don't have for-profit schools, or do they? Private school.
I'm sure there are some.
And they don't get it for free.
They can certainly apply. The decision made by the CEO a while back is that any school is eligible for a defibrillator.
I know originally we were charging.
In all respect, I can't remember the last time we even got a request from a private school.
What is our approach now in terms of new applicants? I mean, since we're sort of revisiting the HeartSig program, if somebody called tomorrow and said we'd like to have one put in, would we say, fine, we're still going full bore, or would we say, no, we're sort of revisiting our program?
Yes and yes to that. It'd still be kind of need-based. You know, we are not promoting the placement of AEDs any longer. However, if a request comes in, we'll certainly entertain it.
Yeah, something says to me, if we're planning a major evaluation of the program, I'm just wondering if we should be slowing down until we decide what we are doing going forward.
We certainly can. We you know, again, as Glenn just mentioned, we used to be pretty proactive in promoting, and we've stopped that. But we still get requests, as you see, on occasion, and I think
Glenn, this is Katie, sorry. How many requests do we get in a month now?
Oh, that certainly matters. If you take a look at the report in front of you, during the last period, there was just one. But if we were to look back in the last couple of years, every time there could be three, four, or five during a reporting period.
Well, I don't know that I'm in favor. If there's just one or so few of letting people know we're not doing it, I don't know the point of that. I don't understand.
Yes, only one has been placed in the last 2 months.
Well, I'll leave it to staff to decide, I guess, just given my view on that. So no questions for Pam or other questions for Pam or Gary. Glenn, moving on to a strategic plan update.
I'll start it, but we have a three-person committee of myself and board members Sheffrin and Farrell, so they probably are going to want to chime on in. So I'll get started by saying that we have had, the three of us, numerous meetings. I didn't count how many, but I'm guessing more than 20, which included individuals and some group panels. In total, we met with 60 people, and in terms of the one-on-ones, they did include Congresswoman Jackie Speier, California State Senator Jerry Hill, Assemblyman Rich Gordon. I think that's it on the Assembly side. We were going to meet with Kevin Mollum, but that didn't quite work out. All the three of the Board of Supervisors, most of the staff, most of the board, those two groups met with Peter Perchins, and then a whole host of other people that are listed in your by group that are listed in your in the packet here. So we had a fairly large participation in terms of gathering information, more than they had in the previous planning efforts. And also in your packet is basically 37 pages of notes that were put into three categories. Basically, the first category were ideas or suggestions of things that we should add or think about doing that maybe we're not doing right now. The second category was basically keep in the same general direction that we're in now. And the third category basically was drop, which means you're doing it now, but maybe you shouldn't be doing it, or you should be doing it completely different. And then there was a miscellaneous column as well. And so what I've done, and we're going to do next, is went through here, and basically I've come up with Art and Jerry's review and suggestions, 12 or 13 key points that came out of these. I'd like to review those with you. And I will stand up and look at it. And Don, thank you for your help in putting this together. I really appreciate that.
Sure.
And so the first, and I want to preface this by saying.
Lee, did Janine send that to me?
I just received it, Katie. No, it was a handout. Oh. Sorry.
Okay.
We will.
Okay.
I do want to mention that these were the most common findings or statements, but they were not by far the only ones. In fact, there were many that were, that there were some that either would have disagreed with these comments. But these were our most common comments. And the first one is that the great majority of people we met with were generally happy with the district and suggested that we, quote, stay the course while making annual adjustments based on identified needs and opportunities. No dramatic changes needed. Essentially, they liked what the district was doing. They agreed generally with our approach and the types of programs that we were funding. Again, there was some suggestions, but overall, there was quite a bit of satisfaction with the district. And also, the majority felt we should continue to take a broad approach to funding community needs rather than very narrow focus on a few specific programs, recognizing there's a lot of health issues out there. Now, there are some people who feel that we should become more narrow than we are, that we're a little too broad, but generally the broad approach sort of got more votes than a very narrow, defined approach.
The participants include a number of beneficiaries.
Yes.
About 20 or maybe 40% or 45% of the participants are beneficiaries. I wouldn't think that their input should have been included in this.
Well, I think all the citizens of the district are beneficiaries. So, I mean, how do we
know? I mean, direct beneficiaries. Their organizations benefit directly from the district. The recipients of grants.
People weren't necessarily representing their organization. They were perhaps chosen because they had more knowledge, but they weren't representing an organization.
And they were asked questions and answered questions. They had many of them had nothing to do with their specific area. They may not be completely unbiased in that one area, but the questions were certainly broader than that. The next point, the majority of people said focus primarily on children, including as early as possible, possibly prenatal, through the young child, to get to children, start this process as young as possible. And then also on the flip side, to take a really close look at the elderly because of the growing elderly population in our community. The folks who are in between, the children and the elderly, did not get as much play in our findings, thinking that most of those people were in a position to sort of fund for themselves. Also focused primarily on the medically underserved and the low income, but it does not mean necessarily focus only on these groups. Now, we did have some people who told us that they would like to see 100% of the money go for the lowest income people in the but the majority of people felt maybe skewed a little bit in that direction, but not exclusively in that direction. Keep a close eye on the Affordable Health Care Act came up many, many times, and that there may be a role for the district to play as an educator around the Affordable Health Care Act. And there were many suggestions that we stay close to the county health system, and there wasn't a great expectation that we ourselves would become experts, but that we would make this public education available. To continue to support the undocumented, especially undocumented children, as they will be left out of the Affordable Health Care Act. Great majority of, and we asked most of the people how they felt about this issue, and most felt, at least especially as it relates to children, that we not abandon that group of people, residents. Drop the hard restriction on funding for-profit organizations. Right now, we do not consider funding for-profit organizations. I think the majority of people we met with felt that that was the best way of getting something done, and or if no one else other than for-profits were doing that type of work, that we did not have to have a hard restriction. There seemed to be a preference, however, to continue working with the nonprofit community whenever possible. It is generally accepted to fund other government agencies. However, several people mentioned Measure A and the fact that San Mateo County, the entity San Mateo County, which needed our help financially over the last few years, is in a much stronger financial position today than they were. And we should take a close look at that when we consider that in the future. It was also suggested that we make an effort to coordinate more with other funding sources, so at least discuss mutual interests and look for opportunities to leverage funding. Right now, we do tend to be a little bit of a silo in terms of funding programs that others are funding, but not necessarily in together or in even in any type of discussion. And many people felt that we should, as a funder, should be talking to other funders. Some mix of treatment and prevention was desirable. However, there's more emphasis on prevention. Many people felt that there were other alternatives for treatment. That was really the job of either the county and or the hospitals or private physicians in the area, and that the district could play should play an increased role in the area of prevention. There's a role for the district to play as a community health leader, but overall, the majority of people felt this should not be a major focus of the district, and we should not put significant resources into this area. We remain active, we remain at the table, but not, you know, don't bring a lot of staff in to become a organized facilitator. To do that when it makes sense, but not bring in a lot of staff and increase our overhead expenses in this area. Two areas that of unmet need that were mentioned over and over and over again were mental health and dental. And that we should, as a district, continue to gather information in both these areas, develop service and support options for the district. But I think if there were any areas that were mentioned the most, these were certainly the two that were mentioned the most, were mental health issues and dental, and for all age groups. The district should continue to look for innovative programs to solve community health problems with some portion of its resources. However, there was still a strong emphasis on not abandoning the proven strong organizations and just become innovative for the sake of becoming innovative. And also there were many comments about looking for innovation, change, development within the existing programs that we're already funding as opposed to bringing in new programs to fund. And in fact, it even encouraged that type of. And I believe those were the key points. There are many other points made, and I tried to summarize them here on your charts. But these appear to be the most common themes that we tended to hear over and over and over again. Happy to answer any questions, or if.
Now, did we schedule a strategic planning meeting with the whole board yet?
Okay, so I'll turn that over to Dr. Shepherd, who's going to address our next steps.
Let me just first comment. For my own purposes, these were really worthwhile discussions that we had with the 60 or so participants. Very educational for us. But maybe even more so for them. I think that a lot of them did not understand the full breadth of what the district does. We sent all of them a lot of background material to help them get educated about it. It was just personally rewarding to hear how much agreement they had with what we had been doing. So I want to make sure to emphasize that with the board. The next steps at this point is that Art and I and Lee will use this information as well as our previous strategic plan to come up with a framework for our new strategic plan that will include a list of goals and options within those goals for the board to consider. And we will be scheduling in possibly late October a working session. Lee will be sending out some notices pretty soon where we will go through that and hopefully get agreement on which options we wish to incorporate in the plan so that we can approve it hopefully at the December board meeting.
So there's going to need to be a special board meeting scheduled for either late October or early November.
Any other comments, Art?
Yeah, I have a comment. Well, first of all, I want to be clear that what we tried to do is get across.
Art, can you talk a little louder? I'm sorry.
I'll try, Katie. For you, I'll do
it. Thanks, dear.
We tried to get a cross-section of the community, people who, some of whom I knew were not exactly supportive of what we're doing, and people who we didn't know whether, how they felt about it, as well as some people who we knew were supportive. After a while, the sessions kind of got redundant, because how many new ideas can one come up with? So we listened to people, and we've heard some of those suggestions before. And other times, some real gem would come out that we hadn't really thought about it. I don't think we really thought about it. I mean, a new dental was important, but to the extent that people commented on that, I didn't realize it was that much of an issue for the people in the community. I have to compliment Jerry, who did a spectacular job of spearheading this. Several times he asked if I wanted to ask the questions and conduct the meeting. I said, "No, you're doing such a good job, keep going." And it had to be somewhat tedious for him to have to go through the same thing over and over and over again, but did a great job, and Lee did a wonderful job of summarizing everything.
I want to thank both you and Jerry, Art. I know this is a lot of time out of your schedules, and I think you did a fabulous job. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank
you. A lot of work.
I have a comment.
Yeah. And thank you, Lee.
Thank you.
And please. On the board response to question number 9, is there anything else you would like to add? In the added column, there is a statement that says it would be
good. Can you tell us what page you're on, Jack, just so we can all
follow? Page 35.
Go ahead, thank you.
It would be good to have a comprehensive service review conducted by an outside party and perhaps under the auspices of LAFCO, to provide data on whether the district and its functions should continue as is, be dissolved, be consolidated, or be converted to countywide operations. No additional taxes should be generated by any changes, and all services should continue to be supported from the existing 1% property tax. I'm just wondering if, you know, that our strategic plan shouldn't have something in there. This essentially would validate the district. The grand jury was concerned about where our efforts, our benefits are spilling over into other areas. And they gave a good example of what this type of study would do, with what they did with El Camino Hospital, the study that was done there. And I think that a strategic plan going forward should have a really good service review to see whether it wouldn't be better to expand what we're doing out to the entire county, and that involves tax situations, and as was suggested here, that needn't increase taxes. Nobody wants to raise taxes. It could all come from the ad valorem taxes.
My understanding, and please understand that my understanding could be wrong, but that LAFCO is not interested in doing a service review of Sequoia Healthcare District, and we have no power to require them to do that. They're the ones that do a service review. It's my understanding that they are not planning on conducting a service review.
They don't have the funding. Everybody has a funding problem. They happen to be one of them.
I don't know what the real reason is, but my understanding is that is not something that they're interested in doing, at least at this time. So
I don't think that's correct, but I'll talk to them shortly.
Okay. Like I said, I may have it wrong, but that's my understanding.
Any other comments? So we'll move on then to the Heart Safe Committee update.
I will start this also, and then again, if Kim or Katie or Glenn want to add anything, please feel free to do that. I will get us started on this direction. A couple of months ago, a Heart Safe Task Force was put together, both Katie Kane and Kim Griffin agreed to serve on it, and we've had 2 meetings so far, and it involved not only staff and board but a number of people who work in the first response world and have connection to HeartSafe type programs either here or in other communities. And two very good meetings, and the first one was more of a brainstorming session in terms of, you know, what HeartSafe could look like or should look like. And we came up with four or five areas to explore. And the second meeting really was more of a defining each of those areas and discussing more under each one of those. And what came out of it was a desire for us being a committee, to put together a business plan or a proposal to take to the board and to do this as soon as possible, and the ideally to have it presented to the board at the December board meeting. So what's the task right now at this point is falling on Glenn's shoulders to draft a business plan for the committee to look at by the end of October, and then to, from that, to make a recommendation to the board as to where we go with this program. I will tell you that there was a lot of discussion and a lot of emphasis on moving in the direction of less in terms of the equipment placement and more in terms of hands-on CPR. There are a lot of opportunities for the promotion of hands-on CPR programming. And we discussed many of those opportunities: school-based, community-based, classroom-based, other opportunities. And that will be all be explored in the business plan. So then it will have to be up to the board to decide whether or not this is something we want to, direction we want to move in or not move in. And included in the business plan will be numbers in terms of how many people we could possibly reach and serve on an annual basis, as well as how much this would cost. So the next step really is to draw up a business plan for review by the HeartSafe committee.
Why is there no discussion of expanding this through the EMS, would be the logical successor to the HeartSafe program? Because having it just for the Sequoia Healthcare District doesn't make any sense anymore.
Well,
I mean, it was supposed to be a turnkey operation. It demonstrated that it's something that people seem to like. If it is really that good, then it should be expanded to the entire county, and we should get out of the
business. But
you're not even discussing
it. Our authority is to do work within our district. We have no authority to bring about a county-wide program. We can suggest it, we can talk to them, we can have conversation,
exactly.
But I'm saying we have no authority to develop with the EMS a county-wide program or approach.
I'm not suggesting that. Okay. I think that the county is quite capable of taking what you've got and expanding it. They already deal with the AEDs.
Well, when you get the business plan, and if that's the approach you're suggesting, the majority of the board feels that way, then, you know, then that would, we'd understand that. But at this point, we're moving forward with discussions.
Can I ask what the format of the report will be? In other words, is there going to be one conclusion drawn by the task force, and that's the proposal to be voted up and down by the board, or are there going to be sort of a range of options for the board to consider and choose from? What is your thinking around that?
My personal thinking around that is the latter, not the former. But I that's personal, and I think I probably would want the input from the other two board members as to how they want to approach this as well. Because we haven't really, the three of us have, and others have really not discuss what this final product might look like yet.
Well, I would like to give my view that unless there's something that pops out that is so incredibly dramatically specific and valuable at the sort of expense of other ideas, it would be nice to see sort of a range that the committee feels fits within the strategy of having some kind of a heart-safe program for our district, with, you know, some strengths and weaknesses, or some way to understand, so that the board can sort of come to agreement about which of those options
makes sense.
Except, that's just my view.
Except if you really want financial projections and you want a specific business plan, it's kind of hard to develop three different business plans.
Well, I would rather see three strategies and then choose a strategy and then have a business plan attached to it, perhaps, because I agree with you. I don't think doing the work
A business plan that might be very tactical focused in terms of once we know what we're going to do, that may have to come after this. I agree.
Jerry, can I kind of jump in here?
Sure.
After the second time we met with the community people, I think in my mind, I'm thinking of, you know, for heart safe to have a three-prong approach. And I discussed this with Lee and Kim. And so I think that might address some of your thoughts, because within that three-prong approach, there are three distinct categories of which we could go with all of them or one of them. If we're looking at school education, if we're looking at adult education, the type of CPR we'd offer and to whom, and then also we talked about a mobile AED CPR training program. So I think there's those, and I hopefully that will address your concern that, you know, okay, we want to do one and two, but we don't want to do three, or we want to do three and one. Do you think that would help you?
You know, I don't know what exactly the specifics of what you just mentioned are, but I like the idea that there's some range of options for me to think about and decide on which I think makes the most sense. It doesn't mean that the other two don't make any sense. I mean, obviously all the decisions we make here are a matter of personal feelings about whether something is more valuable than something else. I mean, when we do our grants program, it's not like of the 60 grant requests we get, there's some 20 of them are terrible and we manage to figure it out and the other 40 are good. It's just where we think we want to invest. So I would be looking at a proposal that would give me the option of looking where I think we should invest. Somebody else might think something else, and we vote and we come up with a conclusion. That's what I'm sort of hoping.
But let me.
That's somewhat what I'm saying would be, because each one of these prongs, if you would, if it be a three-prong program, would have its cost, its value, the people affected, et cetera, provided to you so you could make decisions based on that.
But I want to clarify this. So as a board, then, before we vote, we are all going to have to make a decision about what's going to be included in the program before we vote. I mean, are we going to vote on three different programs?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying when we come back to the board, it says, okay, if we do school education, the hands-on, and I'm not going to elaborate into all that and waste everybody's time, this is how we would do it. This is who would be effective. This is what it would cost. And it would all be presented as one thing, but I think the board discussion could or could not lead into say we want to do one or two or all of them.
It's possible that when presented to the board that we will not be able to make a decision immediately at that first meeting, because it may require some discussion and some alterations and some viewpoints of things that we want to see before you can make a decision. So it is possible that if we were to present at the December board meeting and presented a series of options and viewpoints, whatever, that after that discussion, we may not be quite ready to, you may decide you're not quite ready to make a vote on the final product at that point.
I mean, some board members might want more information about one thing than the other. You know, no doubt. The only thing I would ask of staff is that we get all this information about and how all these programs would work out sufficiently ahead of the board meeting so people could really study it and maybe address questions that they have so we could be prepared to address those at the board meeting.
Well, the fortunate
comment on this, the strategies that Jerry mentioned, I think that's that we should be looking at strategies, not the prongs. The prongs are just, do you want to do keep the district this way and grow it this way, grow it in another three directions. We want to have in the strategy, should we transfer the operation over to another agency? Should we pursue that? I think that the board should have that as one of the choices. You can have all these other choices, but I think that should be one of the strategies that we should have.
I think the fortunate thing about all of the prongs, if you will, with this program are we're not reinventing the wheel on any one of these. All of these have been done before, and they've been done successfully according to all of the people that participated. So I think we're going to be able to present enough information about each project or each portion of this.
Okay.
All right. And then
our last item.
Yes. The last item is an administrative item having to do with the auditing situation. This is somewhat coming as a result of the fact that we are pleased with our...
It's for Glenn, sorry. I didn't email this to you, and I did to the other members. I thought you might be interested. I read it.
That partly is coming as a result of being pleased with our current auditors, but it's also coming from the fact that we're committed to an annual audit, and it takes a tremendous amount of administrative time and work to organize and pull the information together and to sort of update new auditors about how the district works and how our funding programs work. And our current policies require us to essentially go out to bid every 3 years with the opportunity for a two-year renewal. And we wanted to ask for the policy to be changed to allow for a longer process, but actually in the ideal form be able to not put a limit as to how many years we can work with a certain auditor. Our current relationship, again, is very strong. They're very, we're very professional. We've got it to the point now where we can actually provide them with the information. They could be in and out of here in 2 days instead of, it used to take a week, and used to take a, and this may have some impact, we think, in the future in terms of the cost for the audit if we can do it more efficiently. Mm-hmm. So the proposed policy would be that for purpose of appropriate fiduciary oversight, the district may contract for audit services with the same or different firms every 3 years as determined by the board. Doesn't mean that we can't change it. It just says that we can remain with the audit firm if we're happy with the performance and we see no reason to change it. Currently, we have to change it or at least put it out for a bit. I think we have to change it every so often. Mm-hmm. So this would say that you don't have to change. You can change if you want to, just don't have to, essentially.
I like the idea and I move approval.
I'll second.
Any further discussion?
Yeah, I have some discussion, and this probably would be best addressed. I guess, Art, you could give us more thought. God knows I'm not a financial guru like you, but what are accounting policies in having the same auditor? And I know it's a bigger hassle, but is it good accounting principles to have the same auditor year after year after year after year, rather than having somebody come and take and having a fresh set of eyes look at it?
Well, I think this gives us the opportunity to evaluate it each time. We can, if it's the same board each time and we feel confident in what they're doing, I don't see a problem keeping it. But the board's going to change over time, and a new board may very well say, well, let's have somebody else come in and take a look at it. This doesn't say we can't change.
It just gives us
an option, and I think having the option, I think, is a good idea. We may, next year or the year after, say, no, let's get somebody else in. I'm not sure this is working out. So it gives us more flexibility.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Can I give you a medical analogy, Katie?
What?
Can I give you a medical analogy?
Sure.
It would be like saying you have to change doctors every 3 years because your current doctor may be pulling the wool over your eyes and not be doing a good job. So even if you like him and you're satisfied, you still need to get a new doctor.
Yeah, well, I'm not saying we should. Okay, I understand. Okay.
Don't put that in the minutes.
I call for the vote.
Or you might want to change after a week.
Can I have a roll call vote, please?
Yes. Director Farrow?
Yes.
Director Griffin?
Yes.
Director Hickey?
Yes.
Director Kane?
Yes.
Director Shepherd?
Yes.
Thank you.
Move for adjournment.
I'll second.
We stand adjourned.